The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Okay, well, we have, before I left for Texas and had this surgery all back and getting better, I started a series, Understanding the Signs of the Times, and I was not able to complete that. So I'd like to get back to that. I think to this week and next week we'll finish that up. We've talked about a lot of things in regards to the signs of the times. How many believe that we are living in those times when Jesus said that we should be looking for His return? Amen. All right. About half of you. Okay, that's good. We're gaining ground as we go here. I want you to look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. Now, I recognize that when you start talking about these signs and the sorrows and the things that we're used to talking about, sometimes it scares people. But we should not be afraid of the signs of the times. Jesus told us to watch for those signs so that we would know that His soon return was upon us. He said, those who are in darkness won't understand these signs of the times, but we should. We should be looking for them because we then will know that He is coming back very soon, and hopefully we will be about the kingdom business. We will be about building His kingdom. We will be about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are so many people that are lost out there that need Jesus. We all have family members that need Jesus. We do not want them to suffer the wrath of God. Amen. We do not. I know. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep sharing and trusting God. Okay, as we're understanding the signs of the times in Matthew 16, verse 3, it says, in the morning, it will be foul weather today. For the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of His day. He's saying, listen, you cannot even discern what is taking place right in front of you. They couldn't understand that He was the Messiah, that He was the Anointed One, that the signs had pointed to Him coming and that He would be a suffering servant when He came. They could not accept that fact because they didn't know the signs of the times. We need to know the signs of the times and to recognize that His return to this earth is imminent. It's coming. That the catch of the harpazo that's in the Greek New Testament, the catching up, is going to happen to the New Testament church. Now, whether you believe that's in pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, some other trib, I don't care. When you believe it, the Scripture is very clear. There is going to be a catching away. It's going to happen. There's a lot of disagreement on it. But look forward to it. Look at it. Recognize. Now, in an attempt to disregard the necessity of watching and anticipating for the return of Jesus Christ, many Christians and sometimes pastors quote a scripture in Matthew 24, 36, which says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Okay, now Jesus did say that. He said, we're not going to know the exact day and hour. But He went on to explain that there would be signs that we could read and understand that His soon return was upon us. It's very important that we recognize that we can read the signs of the times. The Church of Jesus Christ today, particularly in the United States, in the Western world, they're not really talking about the return of Jesus anymore. We do talk about a lot of good things, but for some reason, the church is getting away from talking about the signs of the time and the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in an attempt to make sure that we do not fall into that category here at Bethel, I want to make sure that you're looking for the return of Jesus and you're watching for the signs. It's nothing to fear. It's something to look forward to. We're excited about it. But I can tell you some things are going to happen in this earth. And praise God that they do. But we've got to watch for signs. It was a museum who had priceless furniture in their museum. It was on display, and they put a sign up, please do not touch. But people did not pay any attention to that sign. They kept touching it, and it was harming this furniture. It was antique furniture, and it was bothering the people that ran the museum. So one of the employees came up with an idea. Because they couldn't keep people from touching it, he put a sign over top, took down that sign, and put a new sign up. And the sign that he put up simply said this: after touching furniture, please wash your hands. That did it. It stopped people from touching. They didn't understand. They thought, oh, there must be something harmful on this furniture. So the sign changed their attitude. Why? Because they knew that it was going to affect them. And I think that's what's wrong with the Church of Jesus Christ today. We don't recognize these things are affecting us in the earth today, but they are. It's happening. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7 says, "For nation will rise against nation." This is the same script, same place where Jesus said, "You'll not know the day or the hour." He goes on to explain, "For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places." So Jesus said, we should be watching for these things. Matthew 24, verse 36 through 39. If you'll turn there with me. We're going to read this real quick. We're going to read the whole thing, all of it together. Jesus starts out by saying, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day of that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Who was caught off guard? Noah wasn't caught off guard, was he? He didn't know the exact day or the hour that God was going to tell him to get in the ark and close up the door. But he wasn't caught off guard. He was prepared. He had been preaching for over 100 years that this was going to happen. The people that were caught off guard were those who disregarded the message that Noah had for them. And that's what's going to happen in our time. People are going to be caught off guard with the return of Jesus because they're not listening. They want nothing to do with the message. Let's go on. "For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." It'll happen exactly like that, according to the Scripture. People are going to be caught off guard because they're not watching. Now, let's go back to verse 7 again. "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places." That's in the New King James. The King James says diverse places, but that's what it means. Other places, various places, all over the place. Places that are normally do not have earthquakes. Okay. And he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. We can watch these signs and know as they continue to build and build and build, just like birth pains. When my wife had our children, the contractions started out kind of mild. She'd have a contraction, and sometimes the next one would be a little stronger, and then she'd have a mild one, and then it would get stronger. It builds. That's what he's saying here about these birth pains, that they'll become more frequent and build in intensity. That's why we should be watching what's going on in our world. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Military conflicts took place in the 20th century. Every year there was a military conflict of some kind. The total number of deaths have been estimated between 160 to 180 million lives. Already in the 21st century, there have been over 1 million casualties from war. That was when I compiled this information, which was a few weeks ago. I'm sure that's changed by now. It's changing daily because there's wars and rumors of wars going on all over our world. Wars are everywhere, and then we're hearing rumors of war. North Korea, Syria, Iran, Israel, Russia. There's all kinds of rumors of wars going on. Do you think that it might be that these are birth pains, sorrows that are coming up on us? I think it warrants our attention. We need to look at it, pay attention to what's going on. The next thing Jesus says is famines. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. Now, famine is a widespread scarcity of food. And in the biblical sense, the word there, limos, the Greek word, means scarcity of harvest. Now, here's what I want to show you a graph here that I found is one of few that I could find in regards to famines. But what they are showing is that that according to their statistics, the death toll, now this is the way they're calculating famine this day, is based on the death toll, not on actual famines or scarcity of harvest, which is the normal definition of famine. But death toll has gone down. And we can thank God for that because of nations like the United States and other Western nations, Christians who are willing to help, to give, and make sure that money is provided and food is distributed to these areas in the world where there's great famine going on. That's the reason the death toll has gone down, because God's people have gotten involved. What do you think would happen if God's people were no longer on the scene? It would be horrible. Because I can tell you this, based on my research, famines have not decreased. In fact, they've increased all over the world. We are distributing food better. We're making sure that people are getting food that need it. But the result of scarcity of harvest has come about for several factors. One of them is war. War causes famine. Natural disasters cause famine. And there's been numerous national or natural disasters all over the world. Earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, volcanic activity, all those things have increased over the last 100 years. You'll see a graph in a little while. I'll show you what's going on. Now, what I want you to realize is that there is something going on. Right here in the United States, in the last several years, we've had drought, very serious drought in Texas and California that affected the harvest. There was a scarcity of harvest in those particular areas where drought was. Now, if it hadn't been for irrigation and man-made irrigation, it would have been devastating, but they were able to salvage a lot of it. What I'm telling you is that the reality of these things coming up on the face of the earth, of famines being a part of our natural life and in the increase of those things is real. And the world recognizes it. In fact, the World Resource Institute says this, if you put that up, what's causing the global food crisis? You see, the world recognizes there is a global food crisis. Even though we are able to distribute food, if we continue down the route that on the road that we're on right now, the global food crisis is going to get worse. That's what the Bible tells us, and we can count on it. Is God going to take care of His own? Absolutely. These are the beginning of sorrows. It's not the tribulation, but it's the beginning of sorrows. Watch the signs. Wars, weather, natural disasters, all these things are causing famine in the earth. It appears that we are on the precipice of a worldwide food shortage. Pray, believe, trust God. He's going to take care of His own. It's been estimated in the event of some kind of natural disaster or some kind of disaster that would keep our trucking industry from supplying our grocery stores with food every 3 days, and that's about the regimen, sometimes more. The food on the shelves that many of us rely on, sometimes we just go buy a few things here and there. Now, around here, most people, we all grew up with having to be prepared to have some foods on the shelves, being able to take care of ourselves for a few days. But in a lot of places, people live from day to day by going to the grocery store every day and getting their food to prepare. And the statistics are that the food on the grocery stores shelves would only last 3 days if there was some kind of catastrophe. Think about that. Maybe we just, this could be a natural disaster. We need to be prepared for ourselves. Make sure you have some stuff stored away. Possibility of food shortage increases astronomically worldwide daily, according to experts. Hallelujah. We trust in the living God. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, that Revelation scripture, I'm going to come back to that at the end. Look at that. Okay, thank you. All right, the next thing, Matthew 24:7. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. So pestilence is one of the things that we can look at. Now, pestilence, Greek word there, pestilence, means a pestilent fellow, a pestilent pestilence, or a plague. Vine says a pestilence, any deadly infectious malady. Vine's Expository Dictionary. So according to this definition, it's an infectious disease that can become an epidemic or pandemic. Now the difference between an epidemic and a pandemic, an epidemic is an infectious disease that is more regional, local, but it is serious. And it causes people, it causes death and great anguish and pain. A pandemic is it covers a wider geographic area and sometimes worldwide. And we know today that they're warning us that this kind of thing can happen because of air travel, people traveling from country to country. If somebody's infected with some kind of a disease, horrible disease like Ebola, something like that, they could carry that from one nation to another, and in the process, they could affect many nations and infect many nations with that disease because there's so many different nationalities traveling here and there and all over the place. This kind of thing happening is a reality, and we all know that we've been warned about it. We've seen the possibility of Ebola. They've been able to contain it. But one of the things that's happening right now in our world is influenza, the flu. And it's killing people. People are losing their lives, particularly elderly and children. are being infected with this, but people who whose immune system are compromised, they're being infected with it. These things are happening as we speak. Let me share a couple things with you. I took this off from the CDC website, and it's papers that were written by experts. Dr. Paul W. Ewald, he says this: control of emerging infectious disease will be difficult because of the large number of disease-causing organisms that are emerging or could emerge in great diversity of geographic areas, which emergence can occur. So basically what he is telling us is that because of the vast areas that people travel into, these things can affect large parts of the population. He goes on to say in that same article, the feasibility of disease control is hampered by the potential vast number of emerging and re-emerging pathogens, the diversity of the geographic source, the potential for rapid global dissemination from these sources, and numerous ecologic, and social factors influencing emergence. A lot of big words there, but basically he's just telling us that these things are going to emerge and keep on emerging. We need to keep our eyes on what is happening and the seriousness of this. Now, to be fair to these articles, their purpose was to say, hey, there's a problem, but they outlined ways of dealing with those problems if you go and read the whole article. That was their purpose. But they're telling us that there are problems within our world, that these viruses can spread rapidly throughout the whole world. One other article that I want to cite was also on the CDC website, and it says this: in today's interconnected world, an infectious disease outbreak that is not rapidly detected and controlled at its source can become a costly global health threat, both in lives lost and in economic turmoil every year. Thousands of outbreaks occur worldwide, many of which involve pathogens with pandemic potential. So he's telling us we need to watch out. Keep an eye on what's going on. Let's take a look at just the influenza, a graph that they gave us that was on the CDC in regards to the influenza and over the years. Now, it started in 2010, but I couldn't see the line for 2010. So we have 2011, 2012. So we're looking at 6-7 years here. The changes. So 2011, 2012, you can see where the influenza was. Jump up to 2012, 2013, it increased. 2015, 2016, it's still up, but it came back down. 2016 and 17, it's way up again. Or 2014, 15, it's way up. 2016, 2017, it comes back down some. Now, in 2017, I'm expecting it to be way off the chart, because when I was in Texas, I heard a report that they were a little surprised by the influenza, because it didn't just start in an area this year over the United States. It seemed like it just blossomed everywhere at the same time. There were very serious cases, people being hospitalized throughout the whole United States simultaneously. Okay. Now, I tell you, you look at this chart, does that look like birth pains to you? It does to me. Up and down, and then it's going to peak. These things are extremely serious. Once again, I hope that I don't want to come across like I'm trying to scare anybody, and I'm not trying to do that. I just want you to be aware of where we are in this time in the world. Praise God, Jesus is going to come back and get this mess straightened out. Jesus' return is very near. And we get to live here with him for 1,000 years, rule and reign. There's nothing better than that. Let's look forward to that. Hallelujah, it's coming. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Now, I said that because I want to share this last thing with you. He also went on to say in Matthew 24:7, earthquakes in various places. Now, how many have heard the report by the experts, the so-called experts, that earthquakes are not on the increase? Anybody heard that? They actually came out with that report. Earthquakes are not on the increase. However, what I want you to see will change your mind about that. Tina, if you'll go ahead and play that video, please. Natural disasters.
Warning for approaching global change, much of which appears to be caused by our own hand. There is yet another layer in the prophetic timeline that we are told will prove the last days are truly upon us. The convergence of natural catastrophic events unlike anything we've ever witnessed before.
Regarding those specifics, for example, the Bible says there'll be signs in the heavens. In fact, in the context, the Bible says there'll be signs in the heavens and there will be times upon the earth the oceans or the seas will be raging. The Bible says that men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear when they see these ominous things coming upon the earth. The context is profound. It is a quick succession of global events that are going to be cataclysmic.
One thing that is talked about quite often and misinterpreted quite often is the natural disasters that will happen in the end times.
Arguably, one of the most commonly discussed natural signs in the end days is the dramatic increase of earthquakes around the world, something that in geological time would be statistically unprecedented if it were actually happening during what many believe is the last generation.
That in the last days there'd be an increase in great earthquakes. Jesus used verbiage that means bigger earthquakes in unusual places. We're looking at things regarding, for example, greater hurricanes, greater typhoons, things that in nature you can sense that things are coming undone. And yet, if you looked at it naturally, you would say, well, this is due to global warming or this is due to man's bad stewardship of the earth. But yet the Bible said as we approached the end, this is exactly what we would see, which, by the way, that preempts man's involvement.
The scriptures do tell us that earthquakes, specifically earthquakes, will increase in frequency and in intensity. Now, it describes the pattern of earthquakes as labor pains.
But the idea here is when they're describing these various birth pains, a lot of it has to do with natural disaster type events like earthquakes and wars and famine. And we've always had these things. So people ask, well, how is now any different than before? What you do have is, as with birth pains, is you have an increase in the frequency and in the severity at the same time as these are increasing in intensity and frequency, you have the convergence of other events. And so you see we have all these things coming together at the same time.
But wait a minute. Hasn't the U.S. Geological Survey, or USGS, gone on record to state that this is not occurring? That no such increase in earthquakes have been detected around the world?
Because this is such a debated topic, the USGS gave a press release saying that this was not occurring. As a result, we actually decided to take the USGS data, millions of data points, spent months downloading it, analyzing it, graphing it, studying it. The results were absolutely terrifying.
Despite what you may have heard in the past, this is the compiled data from the USGS from over the last 100 years. Keep in mind, that we're not talking about the millions of micro tremors that can now be detected from the distribution of more numerous and sensitive sensors, but strictly data from the larger earthquakes that can be felt by people beginning at 6.3 and up on the Richter scale that could be easily detected by early 19th century sensors from virtually anywhere in the world. This data shows what the USGS and other organizations do not want you to see.
It shows that the earthquakes are increasing in intensity and they are increasing in frequency. This is exactly the description that was prophesied. I don't believe the USGS was intentionally lying to the public. I think they are in denial of their own data.
In fact, in recent years, some seismologists have even come forward to admit that in truth, there is indeed an increase in large earthquakes globally, and even revealed cases where big earthquakes are believed to have triggered additional quakes. However, many felt there was not enough of a concern to present this data through official public releases. But there is reason for concern, and even prophetic details within the scriptures.
Tina? Thank you. All right, that's pretty sobering, isn't it? You look at this. Now, these gentlemen are spent lots of time analyzing this, putting together. I have a DVD. It's called Convergence, and they talk about all the signs. They're all there. They're building with intensity. The things that Jesus told us to look for, they're there. Now, before we finish this message this morning, I want to read to you from Revelation, if I can find the scripture, chapter 3, you can read there with me, verse 7. Now, Jesus is talking to the faithful church. How many read Revelation? Okay, I want to encourage all of you, read Revelation, because right in the beginning of the book, it says there's a blessing for reading it. How many want a blessing? I want two, so I read it over and over. It's good. Now, I know, I understand there's a lot of symbolic things there, and it's really, at times, it's difficult to understand. It takes a lot, takes many, many hours of study to understand all these things, and That's why it's important that we talk about it, we study it. On Thursday nights here, I have a video series that we're playing, and we're going through Revelation chapter by chapter. We're beginning at the first of Revelation. We're going to go through the whole book, and we play parts of it, then we stop it, and we talk about it. Because I believe that this is a book that is very relevant to us today. And I want us all to be blessed. I love the blessing. So Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, of course. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things say, he who is holy, he is true. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, but kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. So I want you to see that Jesus says he's going to take care of his own. Seek him. Pray. Ask for his power. Ask for his wisdom. Ask for his protection. But he has promised us that if we will keep his commandments and follow him with all our heart, soul, and mind. I'm not saying you have to be a perfect person. I'm telling you, you are washed by the blood of the Lamb. But we have a responsibility to live the life that Jesus Christ set before us. To love him and to serve him. And if we do that, we have this promise. I will keep you from the hour of trial. That's a great promise, isn't it? Amen. I wanted to leave you this morning with that message. You have this promise. Amen. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.